So glad to have you join us tonight. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock. And I know that God will have a word just for you tonight, so just be ready to receive what God has for you tonight. Amen. And we have our guest speaker tonight, our special speaker, I guess I should say, is Deborah. And at this time, we'll ask Deborah if she'll come up.
Well, good evening, Oasis family and Facebook friends. We're so glad that you joined us tonight. My message is on commit to be content. So we've got commitment to contentment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for your presence. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that your Spirit is here. And Father, we draw from that now. And we ask that you open our ears and our eyes that we can just fully understand what you have for us this night. We thank you, Father, that you care about us in every detail and that you are holy and that you are good. And Father, that you desire a relationship with us. We thank you for this, Father God, and we ask now, as we be still and know that you are God, that you just enlighten us, revealing to us your good word. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Just pour everything of Deborah out and just everything of you in, Father, that I may say what you need me to say and deliver the message that you have for your people this night. In Christ's name, I give you all the glory. Amen. Okay, last week, Chester spoke on contentment, and he gave us a lot of good teaching, so you can go back to last week's message, and the two of them will combine and just totally be a blessing, but I'm going to go over that just a little bit. But I'm going to start with the word contentment, and it does mean a state of being, satisfied, happiness, a state of joy. Contentment is also inner peace. And I found a really neat definition, and it was from the Urban Dictionary, and it says, nothing to do with external pleasure, but rather your attitude. And that's true, because true contentment comes from within. And we know as Christians that a settled mind and a settled heart and peace comes to us through Christ Jesus. We can all agree that contentment is a happy place, a relaxed place, and an awesome state to be in. As I said last week, Chester had spoke from Philippians 4, and he talked to us as Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, the New Testament Christians, and he was talking to them, to Philippi, and he was talking to them about the fact that we needed to honor God and rejoice in what he had did, and that God was here to meet all of our needs, and that we needed to be careful in everything that we saw or everything that was going on to give God that glory and to rejoice in what he was doing, but also to make our petitions known to him, to make our needs known to God, that we needed to come to him with a thankful heart and tell him exactly what we needed. And it was in this peace that passes all understanding, that we can be guarded in our heart and in our mind, which leads to contentment. Verse 11 through 13 in Philippians 4, Paul talks about his state of mind. And he said that whether he was abounding where he had a lot or he didn't have much, that whatever, that he was strong in the Lord through his strength, through Christ Jesus, and that he could do all things through Christ's strength. Paul goes on to say in verse 19 that God also will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We also learned last week that it takes a decision to receive this. It is an agreement that we have with God, and it's an internal foundation that builds, that is the key to having that contentment. An unstable inner foundation with no peace means discontentment. You cannot be content if you've got a whole lot of things going on in your mind, you've got a whole lot of things going on around you, and you're not in a place where you say, I'm going to take on the peace of God. because what you're trying to do is to grab and to reason, and that causes a state of mind that is not balanced. And so God wants us to come to Him and be still and get focused and put our focus on Him so that we can have that peace. We must remember God first and to seek Him in making every decision that we have. And we must rejoice in it because we know that He has everything already worked out for our good. So why do we become discontented? Well, we weren't born to automatically just commit our human needs over to God. We're self-motivated and we're self-preserving. We must decide to choose commitment to be contented. We must choose to live rejoicing and be in peace in all circumstances. When we remember what God has done for us and we purposely recognize it, it is He who sustains us, and He begins to stable that internal foundation. That's Christ. We must not allow the past disappointments or regrets that we have to take our mind off of that peace and get us out of focus. What that does is locks us almost like in a prison. And so what we want is to seek God's peace so that we can find and have that true inner foundation of happiness. When we look at our past or we look at what we've lost, we're focusing on the things that maybe have caused us a lot of bitterness. Our pride gets in the way because we feel like, well, we should have, or we should be here now, or I had this. And we look to the past. And in that, anger issues can come up. We can have jealousy, impatience. None of that sounds like contentment, which is a state of mind that's balanced and peaceful and happy and joyful and steadied. Sounds more like, to me, a rocky road. So that's definitely discontentment. And what all of these are sins against God. When we separate or let sin separate us from God, we become to focus on other things around us to make us happy. This is what the enemy likes. He likes to bring up our past and tell us you're not good enough. You did this wrong. That wasn't right. And he likes to remind us that we're only just this much away from God not loving us. But all of that's a lie, because the devil is a liar. And he is the one that comes with discord. And he is the one that gets us into discontentment. He also wants to break that relationship of commitment that we have with God that keeps us steady and can keep us in perfect peace. Psalms 119:36 says, "Incline my heart, O Lord, to your testimonies, to your decrees, and not to selfish gains." In reading that, I said, well, Lord, if it says that I need to incline my heart to you, that must mean that I have either been reclining, which means I haven't been studying or being close to you or giving you every need that I have, or maybe I've been selfish and, you know, I've just been thinking of my own things and the way that I want it instead of asking you and looking at how you decree things and have set things in motion. And so with that, I started looking over some of the things that go on when we do not follow God's decrees and when we get selfish. And one of those things that can happen is self-pity. And you know, when you're upset about things that you've lost, you lose your vision because you're looking over to the left or to the right. You're not focusing on God. You're looking at those things, well, maybe if I buy this, or if I'm in a relationship here, or if I make this much money, or if I move into that house, then I'll be happy. And what that does is that rocks your foundation, because not only are you questioning, well, God, why am I not good enough to receive these things? And you start to become to focus on your own self and your own self-gain. And you take that in your own hands. And we were not created to be outside of God. Our peace and our contentment We're all to be in Him, because when He created us, He created us with everything that we needed to be able to be content. He even had us, through Jesus, to pray this prayer for heaven to come to earth. So not only has He prepared us as we came here, He's prepared all of heaven with everything we need. All we have to do is to ask. But when we start looking at the things we've lost, or maybe the things we've done wrong, and we start paying more attention to the sins that separated us from God, then therein goes our discontentment. Therein goes our relationship and our opportunity to have a solid foundation that is contented in Christ. Just as Paul said, through Christ he could do all things. It didn't matter what he was going through. He knew that he knew that he knew that God was going to work it all out. And that's where God wants us. He wants us to commit all of our ways to Him so that He can give us the desires of our heart and He can steady us in troubled times. Contentment does require a change of habit, a new way of doing things. You know, if you're going to, if you want to exercise, if you decide you want to lose a little weight, and things are, you know, coming against your body or ill health, and you know you need to stretch and you need to do some more motion, it can be hard on you. Pastor Sharon showed us last week, or it was Sunday, about she had some power bands and she was pulling on those and how that she had every intention of doing that, of exercising with those power bands. And it's very important that we use those power bands to work our muscles. You know, exercise in the head does nothing for the body. It may make you feel good and you might can disillusion yourself. It might give you contentment for the moment, but it's not going to be a lasting contentment because you need to follow through with that commitment. And God wants us to exercise our relationship with Him so that we can stay in a state of knowing that He has everything worked out for our good. But He also needs us to be conscious of that and change those habits that pulled us into bitterness or pulled us into pride. And that's why He wants us to be in His Word, because it's in His Word that guides us and teaches us and shows us how to stay in peace. Because when we get out of peace, I don't know about you, but when I'm uncertain about something, which has been a lot lately, you know, you've heard the saying, well, if things are coming against you, you must be giving the devil a run. Well, I've got him in a speedboat or an airplane or a jet or something, because, you know, all of these things have been coming. But I look at those as, wow, God, these are just things that you're solving in my life. You're just overpouring and outpouring everything about who you are, because your glory is just all around me taking care of it, and I'm in peace. I'm in peace, in perfect peace. And you know, with all the things going on with the coronavirus and, you know, people that are sick and in the hospitals and they're isolated, you know, we think, oh my goodness, what are they going through? You know, how can we help them to keep their contentment, to be content in Christ? We can pray. Because the Holy Spirit goes across all of what we know in the physical. And so when we pray and we think of others, that's putting our selfish pride aside and our selfishness aside. And we reside back into a state of peace because we know that God's going to work it out for them. Sometimes it's easier to pray for other people and see things good come their way than it is to for us to receive it. But God wants us to receive it. He wants us to receive every good thing He has for us. He doesn't want us lacking in anything. But one thing that God warns us of is wanting the things more than we want Him. And that's where we can get into discontentment, because we start looking at what our neighbor has, or this person on the job got a raise, or this person over here, you know, got a new car or a new this, and I'm over here with these issues. And you can get back quickly into that self-pity role. And God needs to have our commitment to Him to stay in peace, because it is in peace that is going to conquer every storm. When Christ went to the cross, He did not go to the cross in anxiety. He did go to the Lord and tell the Lord of what was upcoming and ask the Father, you know, Father, if it be your will, pass this away from me. But he was in peace, even though he had anguish over what was coming to him. Once he went to the Father and communed with the Father, in commitment with the Father's will, that peace came back. And Jesus was able to go to the cross and lay down his life for us. That's peace. I couldn't do that. I could not do that. I would be thinking of the pain and the this and the that. But Jesus stayed in the perfect peace of the Father in communion with him. And there was contentment. And that's where we pick up our perfect peace. And that's what Paul was talking about, where he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And that strength helps us with our peace. It gives us our peace. Father God also wants us to stay focused in one mind. He says, renew your mind. He also tells us in James 1:8 that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't have perfect peace if you're unstable. You have to focus. Focus on the good promises of God, on what he does, because God is a good, good Father. And even in this time of crisis that we're going through, we see the glory of the Lord moving. We see our families being taken care of. We see aid being able to come in other countries and doctors finding, you know, ways to you know, heal patients of this disease. And we're breaking down walls of race, and we're breaking down walls of even church walls, and we're all getting to the heart of what God is, which is the Spirit of God. So God can use this time coming together, even though we're in discontentment, because we're all not liking a change. We had a change that was suddenly. We didn't ask for it. But, you know, God has a way of working in suddenlies in all things, and suddenlies for our good as well. And so he knows the plan that he has for us, but he needs us not to be unstable or to be double-minded. The New Living Translation of James 1:8 says, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in all of their ways. Well, that sounds like discontentment to me. God over here, the world over here, being pulled back and forth. We're teetering. And God says, commit to me all of your ways. Trust in me. Release all of the fears and the things that are going on in your life, because I already know about them. And this is more good news. God already prepared for you in this day. It's already done. What we have to do is draw from it. And he needs us in perfect peace. Because just like a child, if you were to tell a child, you know, you need to go and sit down over here and be quiet and be still while I go to the kitchen and fix your dinner. Well, if that child decides it wants to get up and move around, it's fidgeting, it starts crying, it starts whining, you know, the whole kitchen gets offset. And you have to go back and forth and back and forth. And the mom's trying to get the blessing to the child to feed the child, but the child is being scrambling. The child's wanting it now. It's, you know, making its request known in a wrong way, shall I say. But, you know, that just has discord. And that's discontentment. There's no peace. And so, of course, the mother has to take into her own hands what is best for the child and put a hedge around that child and show that child where to sit so that that child can receive the blessing. Well, you know, we do go through that. We do go through that, especially when we get off on a path of the world and we think, well, I'll just go ahead and buy this, you know, but we haven't asked God, is it the time? Or I'll go ahead and I'll do this, and God didn't say go do it. And we get out of God's timing, and that again causes another teether, you know, a little imbalance. I wish I had a scale, because I feel like that's what I'm doing. But anyway, when you put more of the world over here, you know, and you've got God here, you know, then you don't, you're unbalanced. And so God says, give me all of what you have. Give me all of what you have, and then I will balance it all out because I know what's best for you. I know what's best for you. And when we follow that and we seek Him for that, then we have contentment. God wants us to be at peace and lacking in nothing. It's an internal security, and it's of His godliness. It doesn't come from external things, but He knows that we need the tools and the external things to be able to work out His plan in our life, to glorify Him and to help others, because we're not here of ourselves. We're here for others. It's not in our clothes or our houses or our things or people. Timothy 6:6-7 says that godliness accompanied with contentment, which we know they go hand in hand, an inward sufficiency is great and abundant gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out when we go. Pastor gave us a challenge for 7 days, which I think Sunday afternoon I hit the reset clock, and probably Sunday evening and Monday morning and Monday afternoon. But working on this lesson, I did better. Matter of fact, God said, put that in there. So, but complaining puts our focus on what we don't have, what's missing in our life, what we think we deserve. And it takes it out of God's hands, because that, like that little child that's over there not sitting where they should sit and getting prepared for their dinner, but wanting their things now and causing a disruption, God just has to sit back. He doesn't have our commitment. He doesn't have our obedience. And so those things that are happening around us are actions that we caused ourselves that got us discontented in the first place. But that godliness, when we stay centered and focused on what God's plan is, that's where the peace is. And that's how we know to move forward or to stop or to take, you know, we say it's not really a chance, but we're taking an opportunity for God's glory. It's not really stepping out in chances, because we as Christians believe that God has everything for us, and nothing is by luck, but it's by His divine opportunity and divine nature. But because we do tend to get selfish, and we can get off-focused, and our flesh can cry out more than what we're allowing our mind to be renewed by the Spirit of God, that we can get into a situation where we cause that upheaval in a situation, and we're not following through what God wants us to do. We fall away by our own desires. We give in to our emotions, self-pity, and that doesn't lead to commitment. And there are consequences. The emotion or the thrill of an outward place or a thing can be a good feeling. But if it's out of God's way or a commitment to His plan, it can bring discontentment and even destruction. We have to remember that we have a very present enemy. And I think you can see it today very, very clearly that this world is changing and there is a definite enemy against the kingdom of God and everything that is holy and good and right. And that we are coming against a sense of destruction as of how we knew things were. But God. God has got a greater and a bigger plan, and He's got an awesome plan, and His promises have not changed, and His desires for us are good, and His promises for us are long and good health, healing, prosperity, finances in abundance, all of these things, contentment, peace, happiness, joy. Those are all the fruits of the Spirit. And that is what God is about, and there's nothing that's changing that. So all of the turmoil that we're going through in the world right now, or you're going through personally in your heart, can be relieved through faith in Jesus Christ and taking Him in and letting God work that discontentment by giving you the release of His Holy Spirit to understand His Word, and giving you the forgiveness by you forgiving yourself. God has forgiven you. and you taking that in and that cleansing that comes over you, and then renewing your mind, changing the way you think, not doing the same habits that you did before. You know, they say if you do the same thing you always did, you always get the same result. So if that's so about things that can be bad habits, can't that be so about things being good habits? And can't we have contentment and peace all the time if we do that? The Word says we can. God says we can. We are assured of every good provision. We're assured of wisdom, and we're assured of the power to walk in it. Discontentment robs you of blessings, and it always leaves you hungry to look for a steady footing. It leaves you hungry to look for security. We can have, and we do have, dreams and visions. God says His people perish for lack of knowledge and wisdom and visions, that we have to dream these dreams. And so we do have to see where we want to be and keep our eyes on that. But when things don't work the way that we think they should work, or with who they should work with, just rest in knowing that God has that bigger and better plan for you. And come back into that place of contentment, and come back into that place where you can blossom and where you can flourish, just as Paul did, in all things. And it doesn't matter, you know, if your food is on the table is a steak or if it's a, you know, can of beans. You can be happy and fulfilled knowing that your internal foundation is solid and it is well fed and it is never going without thirst and will always abound in joy, because that's what God is about and that's what His godliness is. And so when we give up our self-pity and we give up our self-rightness and we give up our self-preservation, then we pick up, if we give it over to Christ, then we pick up God's security, His foundation, His peace, and that makes for perfect contentment. He will work out your discontentment to contentment because He works all things out for good. Commit your ways to God, and He will direct your paths. You will stay in perfect peace, in perfect contentment, if your mind stays on Him. Thank you.